My name is Ramika, and this is where I share everything I know about how to outlive and heal from childhood trauma. I truly believe it comes down to two concepts: learning how to love in a healthier way and learning how to matter in a meaningful way. We'll walk through practical and maybe sometimes even challenging ways to heal so that you can love and matter with more impact. Welcome to Kinfolk. I'm attempting to recover from my perfectionism. I have struggled with this as long as I can remember. I think back to before my, the thick of my childhood trauma began, and I still remember having extremely high standards for myself. I think that magnified when my trauma came, and then it just gave me more opportunities to be more and more independent until I became hyper-independent. And that, paired with perfectionism, is a hot mess. And I try to at least portray that I am a hot mess. Like, that is just the reality of the situation. I think there's a lot of me just trying to live like the person I want to become one day. And I think there's a lot of significance in that. And it's attributed to a lot of the growth that I've had, because you start living like the person you want to become, and over time you build the habits and become that person. But I think in a lot of ways, what that always means is that I'm never enough in the present moment. If I'm constantly seeking to become someone else and living like this person in the future. That's a deep thought, and I just want you to consider it, because maybe you see yourself in me. Maybe you see yourself in that statement. And I think perfectionism, it's one of those things that it just kind of glazes, or it filters your lens and perspective about the way that you see life. And it's almost as though it's so part of the way that you orient yourself in the world, and a way that you view the world and your decisions and yourself, that it's hard to see that it is a filter. And hopefully we'll just start broaching the topic of what it might look like to recover from perfectionism. Now, if you weren't aware, there's three types, and I'm sure there's more, but here are the big three. One is a self-oriented perfectionist. And this is someone who has really high standards for themselves. Like, you probably are a performance-based person. You produce results. You're a high achiever. You value productivity and seeing goals lived out. You have really high standards for yourself. That's the self-oriented perfectionist. The second one is the other-oriented perfectionist. And this is, instead of having high standards for yourself, you have very high standards of other people. I read this book called Surrounded by Idiots. And honestly, when I pick up a book like that, a lot of my self-help books, I read them while I'm waiting on other people typically. Like, I'll be meeting up with friends or family, or I'll have a doctor's appointment or something like that, or I'll make it to an event early and then I'll just read a couple pages. So I always have a book on me, if you didn't know this, and it's probably a self-help book, because those are books that you can't just, like, at least for me, if it's not an excellent self-help book, I don't just sit around reading hours of self-help books. So if I have an extra 2 minutes or an extra 15 minutes, I think that's the perfect time. This is just free advice to just pick up a book, read a couple pages or maybe a couple paragraphs, learn something new. But I was reading this book, probably shouldn't have been reading Surrounded by Idiots out in public, but when I was learning about rooted perfectionism and I started thinking about other-oriented perfectionism, that book came to mind, because it just highlights different personality types and how you could better engage with different personality types, how you could better communicate, how you can better orient yourself so that you're not so annoyed with people who show up differently. And a lot of the research is grounded in the DISC assessment. So I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the DISC assessment like colors people. There's a red person who tends to be the driver. There's a yellow person who tends to be more of like your social butterfly. Like they have to talk about how their weekend was before they can get to business. Then you have your blue people who are very steady, don't really like change. And then you have your green people who are very process oriented. And obviously they're not mutually exclusive. You can have different parts, but you might have a dominant way that you show up. And so this book is all about how to communicate or learn how to better communicate with other personality types. Well, the title of the book is Surrounded by Idiots, because of course, like it's natural, it's human that if you're not talking to someone or working with someone who has your dominant communication style or the way that they show up is so different than the way that you show up, you could perceive them as though they're an idiot. And that's kind of how this other oriented perfectionism could show up at its weakest point. But it's not always that you just want the best for other people. There's a lot of expectation and disappointment that's wrapped up in the way that other people perform for you. So I don't want you to look at this is the worst one. It's just a different branch of perfectionism. And I think we all have a combination of all three. The third one is the socially oriented perfectionist. And this is more about how you perceive other people perceive you. And you perceive pressure and perfectionism is an expectation on your friends, your family members, and it all is grounded in a difference in culture or maybe society's expectations that are filtered through social media, or you read a book, maybe a self-help book, and because you're not there yet, you feel like everybody expects you to be there, or maybe there are people that are living in this world that already are there. And it's just very difficult to operate in a world where you don't perceive other people as pressure. Even without words, that other people have high expectations of you. So I'm going to focus on these three solely because I think it gets the majority of us that would struggle with perfectionism. It hits and highlights three key different perspectives. And of course, I'm open to hearing more. So shoot me a DM, leave me a comment, let me know a kind of perfectionist that you perceive that you are if it doesn't fit in these three, because I love learning about this more so because I feel like the first step to fixing a problem is admitting you have one. I don't know if that's still like in 12-step recovery programs, but they used to say all the time that the first step to fixing a problem is admitting you have one. Honestly, just saying that step one is acknowledgement. And if you don't know where the root is coming from and you don't know why it's happening and you don't know what it is, then that's probably why it's happening for so long. And it's just flying under the radar, right? Like you don't know you have this filter on life until you're able to identify what that filter is, how it shows up. And then once you become aware of it, you're able to turn off the filter or separate yourself from the filter and perceive the world differently, which is always what I talk about. Like, how do you get control back? And I think this is one of those areas where you might feel like you're out of control. I think for me, a lot of my perfectionism is driven by my hyper-independence. And this is with or without trauma. Like I said, I believe that there was a period of time that I can remember before my stepdad ever came into the picture where I remember being a more independent kid. Like I think even without trauma, I think I would have turned out pretty independent because I love to read. I love to research. I love to explore. I'm a naturally ambitious person. And that it's not just the product of trauma. I think it became hyper that because of my trauma, but I think it's innately part of my nature. And so luckily I had space to be able to show up that way. But I think when you are around other people who think differently, who process differently, not a lot of people love research, then it just shows up differently for other people. And I think having a kid like that takes a personality who's able to understand it and also just help hone without tainting that part of their natural ability and natural character. And what I mean by that is just having someone that doesn't say it's wrong or it's good or bad or make it a moral issue, but instead, I think it would have gone a long way to have examples of people who were able to have a healthy balance of what it looked like to enjoy research, to love exploration, to be a driver and naturally ambitious in a way that wasn't hyper extreme, because I think part of my hyper independence is also I didn't know better, so I didn't do better. And I think that might be a statement that maybe you can relate to. You don't know better, so how could you be expected to do better? And that's what I'm hoping from this episode. I just want to highlight three different areas and principles for you. And I think this will be a great starting zone to help heal some of that perfectionism and at least become aware of it, because that's step one, right? The first principle I want to highlight is that you have to let go of the belief that everything you do has to be the best thing you've ever done. I'm going to say it again. You have to let go of this belief that everything you do has to be the best thing you've ever done. I remember when I first started posting on social media, honestly, it wasn't for this big platform. Like, my goal wasn't a huge platform. I did know that if I was going to spend this much time posting, I did want to figure out a way to work with companies. But in my mind, because I'm not an extroverted personality, I'm not your typical influencer personality, I thought that would mean I would just go on to create UGC, which is user-generated content. And for those of you who aren't in this industry or not familiar with the business part of it, it's when you create content for other companies for them to post on their platforms. And so you might not even show up in the content, but you're taking the pressure off of the company to go out and have to hire this media team, or maybe they have a media team, but they want to be able to source a lot of content that they can batch that's going to do well. And so their media team is more focused on recruiting content creators like UGC that can create UGC. And so that's honestly what I thought I was going to be doing. I had no concept that I would end up being liked by enough people to follow me to start my own brand, which I named Within Warm Walls. And that happened. But the reason why I wanted to share that with you is because I think there was part of that perfectionism that is grounded in the socially oriented perfectionism when I first started posting. And honestly, it comes up for me still. Where you think that when you put out content, it has to be the best thing. Like, it has to be the best edited. It has to be the clearest picture. It has to be, you know, the perfect wording. You can't make any mistakes, and it has to be the most curated. And if it's not able to be curated to the standard of like a multi-millionaire kind of influencer, then you need to be the best micro influencer that you can be. And being on this space, I think I can say for the last 4 years, what I have learned is that you do not have to have perfect content to go viral. And what I mean by perfect is you don't have to have all of those things be in excellent quality for you to go viral and for you to do well in this space. And I think that is the kind of paralysis that outside of this area, let's say you have no desire to become an influencer, you don't want to be a content creator, that's fine. But what other areas of your life are you paralyzed and you stop yourself from starting because you have this belief that maybe you weren't aware of, that it has to be perfect before you can get started? Everything you do does not have to be the best thing you've ever done. I am solely just highlighting this one area of my life. And if you actually scroll down, I don't have a lot of posts because I don't post all of the time anymore. But even when I was posting more regularly, I still didn't post every single day. I'm not a social media person. I did not love social media before I started posting. So I say that to just give you the hope that if you want to take the time to scroll through to like my first posts, look at how like oversaturated they are. The clarity is not great. I didn't know how to filter. At the time, filters were a really big deal. It just wasn't great content compared to the content that I create today. And even the content I create today has a long way to go to compete with some of the other content creators that do really well in this space. But do I still make a good income from my social media platform? Absolutely. And is it perfect? Absolutely not. And so I hope that gives you just a glimpse into how crippling perfectionism is. It really stunts your growth in the vein that there are probably things that you really want to do, but you're holding yourself back because you feel like everything that you have to do right now to get started needs to be the best thing you've ever done. And it doesn't need to be the best, it just needs to be done. So how do you get it done? How do you get it out there? Whatever it is for you. It's funny, in a different vein, even to go into having a dog, I felt like I needed to do all of this research. And maybe partly too is the dad I grew up with, but my adoptive dad, I remember I really wanted a hamster when I was growing up. And I remember he told me, he was like, okay, well then you tell me how much on average a hamster costs per month, and you put together basically a business plan for this hamster. I had to tell him like how much the food costs, where I was going to get food, what materials I needed to like create the habitat, where I was going to house the hamster in the house, how frequently it needed to be cleaned out, and then like details about the hamster itself. What was their lifespan on average? You know, like what gives them the best quality of life? What kind of like species are they? You know, they're a rodent, obviously, but you know, what does that mean really? And just to understand their nature. So I did put up this whole presentation and I did end up getting a hamster. And to this day, that's kind of how I approach life. I am very much minded to have a business plan approach to most things. And so even getting a dog, I was like, on average, like how much, you know, is it going to take? And I knew I would be working a lot because I have my social media platform. At the time I did before I got Copeland, and, you know, I have a house to take care of. And I also work a regular insurance job, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And so realistically, like, how am I going to take time to train this dog and spend time with him? And what's the cost for, I also travel, you know, so what's the cost for boarding him? Or do I have people that can step in? And I don't. So, you know, all of those things were considerations that I had. So I'm sharing that to you because I also want you to know that there is a huge strength with perfectionism. A lot of prep work, a lot of research, a lot of consideration happens when you're a perfectionist. And I don't want you to throw those skills away because I'm telling you, you need to heal from the paralysis of perfectionism. I want you to take what's good and discard what's holding you back. And so even when you are acknowledging where your perfectionism is rooted in, I want you to consider that not all of it is bad. That part of it helps you be prepared and helps you show up with great positioning on life. And you have really thought out ideas. I am just challenging and I'm pushing back a little that maybe you don't need to be as prepared as you perceive yourself to need to be. And maybe there aren't other people around you pressuring you to produce the kind of product that you're thinking you need to produce. Maybe it's okay to just read a book and get as much as you need out of it and put it back without finishing it. I'm saying I think there's balance and flexibility. And so I share that story so that hopefully you hear there is a really big benefit to being thought out and prepared and planned, but it doesn't need to be your approach for every single decision you make in life. Not everything you do needs to be the best thing you've ever done. The second principle is a question that I ask myself regularly. Now that I am super aware of the ways and how much my perfectionism shows up, the number one question I ask myself on a day-to-day basis is, does it need to be done or does it need to be perfect? And what I'm actually asking myself, it's kind of like twofold, because I think perfectionism is interesting in that there is nothing that is perfect. And in my opinion, there's nothing that's perfect outside of God. And I'm never going to be God. So what I'm really saying when I'm trying to broach my perfectionism is that I'm saying I need to be a part of everything. I need to be somehow always present, always in things, having my hand in everything, always aware of how this could go wrong and every way this could go right. I need to be the most prepared. Like, it's all of this pressure that I'm putting on myself. And so perfectionism, the irony is that nothing can truly be perfect, but the reality is you just feel like you need to have your hand in everything, is what I tell myself. And so the question is twofold in that, do I need to be a part of every part of this? Do I need to have my hand in it? Or that it's done? Like, what's ultimately my point? What's my goal? And what I've realized is that there are a lot of things that I just need done, which is why my procrastination, that's when my procrastination is tempted to kick in, because I feel like I need to be a part of everything. I feel like my hand needs to be in everything. I feel like I need to be the most prepared I've ever been. And I need to have everything considered before I do something. And so what it does is it creates a lot of motion instead of taking action. I've talked about this before, but there's a difference. Both have movement, right? Like, both have you acting and doing stuff in a certain way, even if you're procrastinating. Procrastinators tend to just be replacers. They tend to replace what they actually need to get done with something that distracts them from doing the thing that they need to get done. And that could even be sleeping. But all of that would be labeled under motion. You just have a lot of motion happening, but there's very little action that you're actually taking to move something forward. And so when I'm asking myself, and maybe this might be a statement or a question that you just might want to introduce into your everyday life, does it need to be done or does it have to be perfect? One of these examples is, I've talked many times, so I thought I would bring up this example, because when I talk about having cleaners, I have cleaners come through once a month. and clean my house for me. And they do a lot of the deep cleaning that is just really hard for me to stay on top of because I have so much to get done in each day. And then obviously with a dog, it adds an extra layer of responsibility to my cleaning because he has his hair and, you know, making sure I'm staying on top of his baths, all of that stuff, right? I don't need to justify why I need to have cleaners. I'm realizing that's what I'm doing. But again, see, that's the perfectionism that's kicking in, the socially oriented perfectionism where I perceive that you guys think that I shouldn't have a cleaner. And so now I'm trying to justify. So it even comes up in our communication and our language. That's a freebie. I didn't expect to talk about that, but it naturally came up. Anyway, I have cleaners that come through once a month. And the reason why I share this is because I started hiring cleaners after I started asking myself, does it need to be perfect or does it need to just be done? And I realized I just needed it done and off my plate. And so I started hiring cleaners. Now, I feel like there's this ideal about cleaners, and I've had like even my best cleaner that I've had come through here. I can't love her enough. And I won't say her name because I don't want you to have her. But even my best cleaner, when she's available to me, has things where either because of the time frame, she can't get everything done, or she forgets about. Like there was one time where there was a loss that happened in a mutual friend's life that obviously impacted her, and it happened to be on my cleaning day. And she's so gracious. She offered to come back, but I told her not to worry about it, and I just did it myself. But I think the temptation for those of you who are hesitant to hire cleaners, for instance, if this is a consideration that you've been wanting and going back and forth on, I get it. I've done it too. Like they're not going to clean the way that I would clean. And that's just true, right? Like they're not you. They're not going to clean the way that you clean. But does it need to be perfect or does it need to be done? I had a new cleaner come through and she did pretty much everything on my list. And I say it like that because I got to my kitchen and I realized that the oven, like stovetop, wasn't wiped down and neither was the microwave. And it wasn't awful, but again, that's just like why I hire cleaners, because I don't want to do a lot of the deep cleaning, but I try to maintain everything as well as I can throughout the week so it never gets too bad. But again, I had already hired cleaners to take care of this, and just because she was new, I imagine that's what I chalk it up to. She just forgot these two areas. But comparatively, is it better to have it done or did it need to be perfect? And honestly, what I'm really paying her for is to just get some time back for myself. I could have cleaned my whole house to the level that she cleaned the rest of my house, and it would have taken me 3 hours. That's how long it took her to clean the rest of my house. She's dusting my fans and my light fixtures and my baseboards and my windowsills. She's vacuuming all the carpet upstairs. She's mopping, you know, she's cleaning my bathrooms, my shower. It took her 3 hours. Did I need it to be done or did it need to be perfect? And so to me, her missing the microwave and the stovetop was a non-issue. It took me 20 minutes to clean both of those to my standards, and I was done. I did not have to spend 3 hours cleaning my entire house. In that situation, it was better for it to be done. I was not looking for perfection. And if you would have asked me that even 3 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you, because I would have told you every time, that's why I'm just going to be the one to clean my house. That's why I have up to this year, because I needed to have my hand in everything. But when it really came down to it, I'm telling you, this question has literally saved so much time. It's given me so much time back, so much mental space back, so much more capacity back, simply because I'm able to filter through my perfectionism with one question. Is it important that it's perfect? Or is it okay that it's done? And you'll be shocked at the number of things that you just need done. Okay, this is my last point, I promise, and I'll wrap this up because I don't want to give you more than you can chew. It's a lot to process, but I want you to take a minute, just right now, just take a minute and consider. I want you to name a successful entity, specifically companies, like think big, think bigger than just one person, because that's a lot easier to do. But I want you to name a successful company that doesn't know how to delegate at all, that just refuses to delegate. Exactly. You won't find it. And I think this is where the misstep happens with our perfectionism, because in part, we feel like we need to have a hand in every single thing, that it's really hard for us to delegate to other people. We would rather just do it ourselves because we can do it better than the person we would delegate it to, is the belief. But I want you to understand that even that statement is a fallacy. It's not true. There are people who are more specialized than you, who are more proficient, more efficient than you would be in that area. It's their specialty. And you haven't given yourself the opportunity to find those people because you're operating under a belief that you can do it better than the person that you would delegate it to. It literally filters out both the bad apples that you believe you might get, that you believe that are out there, as well as it filters out the people who would be better at it than you are. Perfectionism really stunts your growth because you really need to figure out a way to recruit the best people so that you all can grow together. And that's an area, full disclosure, where I have struggled in building out my brand. It's because of my own perfectionism. I have a really hard time delegating, mostly because I'm cheap. That's my scarcity mindset, coupled with I don't want to take the time to try to find and recruit people that are more specialized and could do better than I am at tasks that I perceive are just small. But all of those small tasks just add up over time. Even if you're not trying to make it to the next ladder corporately, maybe you stay at home. I think every single person needs to do an inventory of their life and figure out what you can delegate. I'm not asking you to leverage more than you have or to go into debt delegating, but I do believe that we all have a little bit more wiggle room than we perceive to have, even if it's asking your kids to take up more responsibility, right? Like, let's say you are a stay-at-home mom and your perfectionism has led you to be doing everything. You have to have a hand in everything. And so you take up all of this responsibility because you refuse to allow other people to help you. I'm not saying it needs to cost money. If it's a lack of a support system, then maybe the best episode for you to go back and listen to is how to make new friends and figure out a way to start building out your support system. I'm not saying that this all happens overnight. You're not going to heal your perfectionism overnight. You're not going to build a support system overnight. But I try to share principles that will give you longevity. If you're willing to live them out over a long period of time, you will find freedom in these areas and get some control back of your life. So I just want to highlight for those of you who are stay-at-home moms, why maybe you completely just tapped out mentally when I started talking about climbing a corporate ladder. I actually don't think I talked much about corporate because this is very ingrained in our day-to-day life, our perfectionism is. But I do want to highlight for those of you who think I'm only talking to my corporate girlies, that this applies to you as well. And I want you to understand that it's not just leveraging what you can pay for to delegate better. I think there's areas of our perfectionism where we have a support system out there and we just refuse to tap into it. And it is what's holding you back. And so inventory your life. This is for those of you who are in any stage of your life, we all have areas where we can better delegate, even if it's delegating a question to one of our family members who's older, who's lived through it before, and just asking them for their input. That is how you can start delegating. That is an example of delegation that costs nothing but your time and your communication skills. There are other areas where if you have the capacity to leverage, I'm sure there are things that you could inventory and figure out how to delegate. Things like hiring a cleaning service, hiring a tasker. I've worked with TaskRabbit myself. I hired them to paint my office. When I inventoried my week, the week that I wanted my office painted and moved in so that I could just get started with working from my home office, I did not have the capacity to paint this office. And plus, he did a better job than I did. Again, delegation opens you up to people who are more proficient or efficient in the area where you probably perceive, at least at this point in your life, you're the best fit for the job. And I'm hoping what's becoming more and more clear is that that's not the truth. After you inventory your life, and this is literally, it might be writing down on paper everything that you need to get done in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, and literally just write it as though it's bullet points. What can you delegate for someone else? Who can you ask a question of? What resource can you access? TaskRabbit is one of them. If you don't have family, but you just moved to an area and you need to figure out how to delegate ASAP, TaskRabbit, you can hire a local tasker and they are able to pick up any kind of task under the sun that you can think of. I can't think of one task that I haven't been able to hire out yet. Wiring, electrical, organizing a closet, hanging up curtains, moving furniture, painting a room, you know, cleaning. They literally can do so many things. I think it is a great resource at an affordable price. You can hire somebody that's within your budget. This isn't even an ad, but I just want those of you who don't know about it to know about it. That's one of, I think, the values about being an influencer is that I start getting made aware of resources that I wasn't aware of previously, and I get to share them with you guys. So TaskRabbit is a great resource. Have someone move for you, right? Like, even if you could move yourself, which, let me tell you this, this is a low. This is a low point of my own perfectionism, and I've already talked it through with my sister. I get where the breakdown happened. I understand my hyper independence. Let me just get this out. My first year hiring movers, I actually ended up, I paid extra for a garage that was on or at my apartment at the time. And so the garage was downstairs because I lived on the second floor apartment. It was downstairs, obviously ground level, and then across the street from my apartment unit. Y'all, I hired movers. Let me repeat that. I wasn't sure that they would be the most efficient movers. Mind you, I had never met them. I did not know who these people were, but I was convinced in my mind that they were not going to be efficient. And I was paying them by the hour. Like I said, scarcity mindset. I'm cheap, doubled with I feel like I have to have my hand in everything. My perfectionism. Hired these movers. The move for myself, I started packing because I always have a process to how I pack. If you want to know, I do have a blog post at withinwarmwalls.com. If you're getting ready to move, it's literally how I've moved every single time. But I started a month early packing, and then about a week out, I moved my car from the garage, and I literally moved most, if not all, except for my heavy furniture, like my large heavy furniture, all of the boxes I had packed, I had organized them by room and moved them myself from my second floor apartment to that garage so that when the movers came, they would just be able to load up my garage really quickly was my goal. And then all I had were like seven large pieces of furniture to move. Was it an efficient move? Yes. Did everybody call me out for it? As they should, because the movers were literally like, it probably saved us in the grand scheme of things 30 minutes because we could have just loaded up your elevator with the same boxes and they had dollies. They had their own process. They were the most efficient movers. I've hired them 3 times. So all I'm saying is don't be me. Be more aware of the ways that your perfectionism is literally shifting the way that you see your life and your decisions. What part of this challenged you? What part of it do you want to grow? What part of it do you want to do differently in your own life? Shoot me a DM. Leave a comment. Let me know. Call me out. I have literally laid myself out there so that you guys could just see it for what it is and what it looks like. And maybe you'll find yourself in it and it'll be enough for you to take the first step to grow. Let's plan to talk soon.